From the KGOU studios, I'm Suzette Gorlott, the Dean of the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma, and welcome to Worldviews. When Cyrus Copeland was trying to find his father's will, he stumbled upon a delicate 35-year-old file in the bottom of a desk drawer labeled Max's Radar Affair.
That afternoon, I thought, I'm going to find out once and for all whether or not my dad was CIA.
That journey to discover the truth about his father's past took him from Oklahoma to Iran and everywhere in between. He'll talk with our contributor, Rebecca Cruz, about the life-altering experience during the height of U.S. tension with the Islamic Republic.
How could my book-loving, very quiet, academic father be confused with anything like a CIA agent? But that essentially was the beginning of what turned out to be the darkest chapter in our lives.
That conversation is coming up right after this hour's news. This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlott. Our guest today moved to Iran with his family when he was 10 years old. Cyrus Copeland's Iranian mother met his American father when they both were college students in Washington, D.C. In the 1970s, his father worked for the defense contractor Westinghouse in Tehran and the southern provincial capital of Shiraz. But their lives were turned upside down by the 1979 Islamic Revolution, and he wrote about that experience in his 2015 memoir, Off the Radar, A Father's Secret, A Mother's Heroism, and A Son's Quest. He shared his family story with our contributor, Rebecca Cruz.
Cyrus Copeland, welcome to Worldviews.
Thank you.
You have a very interesting, very personal story to share with us, which I think is just fascinating. And this really kind of is a story about your parents. And as I understand it, your father was arrested for espionage in Iran right around the time of the revolution there. And then your mother went and got a legal degree to help him with his defense. So maybe give us a little bit of the background and tell us how things evolved. And then I love your part of the story as well, your kind of search to understand what happened there.
So I'm half Iranian. My mother's Iranian. My father is an OU grad from Grove, Oklahoma, actually. Ah. He met my mother after he had taken a trip around the world with a professor of OU named Percy Buchanan. And they met on the very first day of their arrival in Washington, D.C., and eventually getting married and raising a family in Iran. We moved to Iran in 1974. It was lovely until the revolution happened, and things fell apart very quickly. Most of the Americans and most of the family and friends that we had there left, but we stayed on. And my father assumed a role shutting down Westinghouse's warehouse operations. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Michael Clayton. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't.
Okay. It's about a cleanup man. And my father was essentially that cleanup man.
Okay.
He played the George Clooney role in this. And he was shutting down Westinghouse's warehouse operations. They had sold some very sensitive equipment to the Iranian Air Force.
Ah.
And so he was in charge of kind of shutting that down. And one night he didn't come home. And it turned out that he had been arrested and was soon going to be tried as a CIA agent. And as you had kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, my mother tried to find a lawyer for him, and she could not. And she ended up doing something very improbable, which was she decided she was going to become his lawyer.
Remarkable either way, but also remarkable in the context of being in Iran and this espionage charge and your mother deciding to do this. This is just
right.
Remarkable.
Think about this, Rebecca. So she's a woman.
Yes.
In revolutionary Iran. She actually ended up becoming the very first female attorney in the Islamic Republic.
Wow.
So, and she represented my father in a military court. Now, remember, this is a military court, and in any court in Iran, mm-hmm. where a woman's word is technically worth that of half of a man. And generally, this is not a very female-friendly regime which is taking place. The age of marriage has just been lowered to 9. So, my mother ended up doing this remarkable thing. And I don't want to kind of give you too much information about how it all turns out, because that's part of the draw
of
the book.
Of course.
She was the very first female attorney in the Islamic Republic of Iran.
And you were a young child when all of this was happening. Is that correct?
16.
Slightly older than a young child. And what was your perception? What do you remember about this time?
16. Well, first of all, here's what I'll tell you about that. I remember reading or hearing about the newspaper article that appeared in the Tehran Times. And the headline was something like "The CIA Agent Smuggling Radar Equipment Caught." And it was about my dad. And I thought, that's ridiculous. How could my book-loving, very quiet academic father be confused with anything like a CIA agent? But that essentially was the beginning of what turned out to be the darkest chapter in our lives. I was 16 at the time, and yes, this was going on, and yes, it was very concerning, but I was also a teenager, and I would kind of go and listen to ABBA music, and I was concerned with the things a teenager was concerned with. My mother, to her credit, did a very good job of kind of shielding us in a way from the difficulty of the truth that was unfolding. So I was worried. I kind of saw what was happening, but I wasn't as worried as I should have been.
You were still in Iran at this time, so you were also seeing the revolution happen, the new regime take place. That must have been interesting, even from a 16-year-old's eyes, or perhaps exciting.
You know, this is the thing. You're 16, and you don't really realize that you're living at the nexus of one of the most iconic disruptions of our time because you're in it,
yeah.
Right? All of a sudden, this is happening, and life is changing, and you know it's changing, but I don't have enough perspective to realize how remarkable of an experience it actually was until, of course, you have that perspective.
Of course, and I'm sure, though, that life may have changed a little bit from before and after, but so remarkable. And I don't want to give away the crux of the book, but how long were you all in Iran afterwards, and what was your life later on in Iran, or how did things...
I will tell you this. The hostages were taken in November of 1979. My father was arrested and tried the following month. In January, my mother took my sister and I out of the country and put us in a school in Philadelphia suburbs and went back to see if she could wrest my father from the unfolding predicament. So I ended up kind of making an American life for myself here. My mother is here. She's still with us right now, as is my sister. And my father is now deceased for many years.
So you mentioned that the hostages were taken around the same time. Was there a lot in the news about what was happening with this story? The hostage situation obviously was a major international story. Some say led to Jimmy Carter not being reelected. A lot was going on, but was this story known?
This story appeared on page 2 of the Tehran Times, which gives you an idea of how kind of placed. It didn't get any traction at all with the Western media because of the hostage crisis, which is why, in a very real way, my father was off the radar. He was really kind of figuratively off the radar as well. The White House, the State Department, and the CIA were all very kind of preoccupied with what was happening at the embassy.
And obviously this affected you personally, and you have now written this book, as you mentioned, and the full title is Off the Radar, A Father's Secret, A Mother's Heroism, and A Son's Quest. Maybe talk a little bit about the quest. You have now gone back and have kind of tried to piece together exactly what happened, but what was this quest for you, and has this been kind of a cathartic process in writing this all down and telling this story, putting him on the radar, if you will?
Yeah. You know, the quest for me began a couple of years ago. I was sitting in the living room with my mom, and she had asked me to go into the library to retrieve my father's will. It had something to do with land rights, that there was a question about that. And I went into the library, and I came back with a box that I thought contained his will. It didn't end up containing his will, but at the bottom of the box was a file called Max's Radar Affair. And this file was a 35-year-old file. Its pages kind of were very delicate and crisped by time in that way that they are.
Sure.
And that afternoon, and it contained all of the details of what had happened to my father abroad. And that afternoon, my mother and I were kind of going through this file. And always there'd been the question of, well, was he a CIA agent or wasn't he a CIA agent? My mother believes that he was a CIA agent. But I didn't believe that. For me, he just didn't fit the profile, right? I mean, he's a quiet man. He's academic. His Farsi isn't that good.
And
he's
never
tall,
said.
So he sticks out in a crowd.
Okay.
But that afternoon, I thought, I'm going to find out once and for all whether or not my dad was CIA. And that was the quest. That was kind of the question that launched me on the quest, and the question, the answer to which ended up becoming the book that I've written.
Now, in the process of writing this, the research, how did people take your quest? Did you get a lot of answers that you were looking for? Did you run into roadblocks? What was this process?
So here's the thing. This period of relations with Iran is not a very good one. It doesn't really reflect well on either government, really. And the CIA was every bit as tight-lipped about this as you would expect them to be. So I filed a FOIA request with them. That's a Freedom of Information Act request. Technically, they're supposed to get back to me within, I think it's like 6 weeks or 3 months, something like that. A year and a half later, I still hadn't heard from them or the State Department. President Carter ended up writing me a little note on a letter that I had written to him. And I later found out that he had written that note on the letter instead of responding by email because he himself was concerned with being tracked by intelligence. I mean, can you imagine that? The U.S. president is himself very wary of being followed by the intelligence community.
Right. So, and 30 years or so after the fact.
So I didn't find the answers in the way that I thought I was going to find the answers. Interestingly, it happened in another way. I was having dinner with a friend of mine, and it was the anniversary of my father's death. And I was feeling a little bit guilty about not having known him as well as I wish I had known him when he was alive. And I was compensating for that by telling stories about my dad. And I got to the middle of the story where my father had converted to Islam to marry my mother. And my friend said, well, what did he convert from? And I said, my dad was a Christian. And he goes, yeah, but what kind of Christian? What sect? Was he Catholic, Presbyterian, la, la, la? And I realized I didn't know the answer to that. And my friend looked at me in astonishment. He said, you really have to go to Oklahoma. I said, that's ridiculous. Why do I have to go to Oklahoma? And he said, you need to find out who your father was before he was the man who became your dad. Now, my friend is very wise about these things. He's got a strain of empathy inside of him, which has proven to be remarkable in the past. So I booked myself a ticket, and I came to Oklahoma, and I ended up staying with his oldest friend from childhood, Owen Butler, and heard a lot of stories about my dad, and I saw where he had gone to school and the ranch where he had grown up and herded sheep. But it wasn't until I dove into the collegiate chapter of his life that things got really interesting. And I found out my father had kept a diary of his time while he was at OU. And it turned out that there was a professor here in the 1950s. His name was Percy Buchanan, handsome man. He had the kind of face who belonged on money. And Percy, it wasn't known at the time, but he was actually a recruiter for the CIA.
Oh, goodness.
And he was on campus specifically to find out and source which students he thought would be good material for the CIA to recruit. He led a number of trips abroad, student-led trips into communist countries. And remember, this is the 50s, so this is the middle of the Red Scare. Mm-hmm. And my father went on one of those trips, and I read the diary of this, and it was in reading the diary and putting together these pieces, and I ended up actually contacting Percy Buchanan's son, who was still alive and who himself was a CIA agent, that I was able to answer the question that had
and kind of connect the dots
launched
there.
This whole quest.
Oh, wow. And your brilliant friend that told you to go to Oklahoma,
yeah,
he knew.
God bless him. Bob Weil.
Wow. That is incredible, incredible story. Well, we're getting close to time, but I did want to just kind of ask you as a part American, part Iranian, you know, the relationship you mentioned that the time that you're writing about was very tense. And here recently, we've been looking at more positive relations. Just kind of curious your take on that as kind of someone who's connected to both countries.
Yeah, I love that. You know, for me, I will say this. The past 35 years, it's been very difficult watching my two homelands, both of which I love dearly, duke it out. A little bit like being the child of a divorce, right?
Yeah.
Your dad demonizes your mom. Your mom says terrible things about your dad. And you're kind of left in the middle doing, in my case, geopolitical therapy. And so this recent breakthrough with Iran over the nuclear negotiations has been very heartening for me. I think it's tremendous that after years of so much rancor between two very different countries and cultures, we're able to kind of come together in an uncertain way, but diplomacy is messy, and achieve a workable solution. So I'm heartened. I'm thrilled, actually.
Wonderful. Well, we will definitely continue to keep an eye on that, and we just so appreciate you coming back to your dad's alma mater to talk with us and share a little bit of his story. And in your book, account your mother's role in all of this, which is, just sounds fascinating, and then your quest. So yep. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Rebecca.
You've been listening to Rebecca Cruz's conversation with Cyrus Copeland, the author of the 2015 memoir Off the Radar, A Father's Secret, A Mother's Heroism, and A Son's Quest. Worldviews is a collaborative partnership between the University of Oklahoma's College of International Studies and KGOU. Brian Hardzinski edited the interview and wrote our web content, and our researcher is Miranda Wilson. For Rebecca Cruz, I'm Suzette Grelott.